This programming is sponsored by the UH Health Family Care Center, offering primary care and behavioral health services on the University of Houston campus. Health insurance plans, including Medicare and Medicaid, accepted. New patient appointments and more at 832-UH-CARES.
This programming is sponsored by Linscombe Wealth, a wealth management firm partnering with individuals and families dedicated to helping them build, preserve, and manage wealth by creating a customized plan to work toward achieving their goals. More at LinscombeWealth.com.
Last time on Episode 3 of Below the Waterlines, Houston after Hurricane Harvey, a green project that saved homes from flooding.
I couldn't wait for the street water to go down a little enough so I could come over and see, is it really working?
Green solutions can work, and they're being piloted across Houston.
We have to really think innovatively and working with nature in this way.
On this episode of Below the Waterlines, we look at another important tool in flood mitigation, home buyouts. When I moved to Houston just over 2 years ago, it became pretty clear pretty soon what was happening here. The high-rise apartments next to empty lots, Spanish-style townhouses, and the tiny trailer next door, I would blink and a new construction would go from dirt to done. But all that seems to be ignoring one inevitable in a place like Houston. A storm will come. The question is just when. And now with all that concrete, there's less land to soak up the water. Where will it go, if not the same place it went during Hurricane Harvey? I wasn't around for Harvey, but there are obvious signs of its devastation today. Every time we get word of a possible storm, it feels like everybody is holding their breath. And it left me wondering, I mean, how much are we relying on luck? What are we doing to protect people from the rising flood risk that is in our future? I'm Sarah Willa-Ernst, and you're listening to Episode 4 of Below the Waterlines, Houston after Hurricane Harvey. I explore one of the main ways to get people out of harm's way, home buyouts. That's when the government offers money to buy homes deep in the floodplain. I speak with residents at the center of these transactions, what they gain and lose, how we can improve the process, and whether buyouts are worth it.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm in Humble at the Forest Cove townhomes. If you can even call them that, I mean, they're falling apart. Across the street, there's a small audience camped out in their cars. And even though it is a hot July day, they wanted to see it go down.
I'm happy to see them go. I'm really happy to see them go. We're
finally, 5 years after Hurricane Harvey, the last of these townhomes was getting demolished.
And so we're kind of in front of a spectacle right now.
Yeah, it looks wonderful.
We've got the grandkids today, so this is the big excitement in Forest Cove, so here we are.
This was a really different picture before Harvey. Imagine, right on Lake Houston, rows and rows of three-story townhomes. Mostly renters, mostly people who wanted to live on the water, tucked away from city life. But fast forward to this year. I went to visit in June, just before the demolitions. A few dozen remained. Empty. Ramshackled.
They look like a bomb went off.
Joy Sadler lives a few minutes away. She's the president of the Property Owners Association nearby and has lived with this eyesore for half a decade. She showed me around.
So I'm walking around the Forest Cove townhomes, which have been bought out by the county. There's graffiti all over the room. I'm walking through the garage of one of the townhomes, and the garage door is completely ripped off. There's no furniture. There's just kind of garbage and glass and empty cans. It's really in a terrible condition right now.
Sadler later told me,
as bad as it is now, this is much less bad than it used to be.
The Forest Cove townhomes got slammed after Hurricane Harvey. 21 feet of water is what one resident told me flooded her home, which is why Harris County Flood Control District selected this complex for their buyout program. That zip code has been one of the county's biggest projects. But Sadler says the process just dragged on and on.
That is absolutely my biggest gripe.
That's because not every owner was willing or even reachable. They all needed to get on board because it's part of a voluntary program funded by FEMA. In fewer cases, buyouts can be mandatory too, and that's funded through the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Both programs are slow, and in that waiting, unsavory activity cropped up. Vandalism, graffiti, trespassing.
From the get-go, it was obvious that every one of these buildings was a condemnation building from jump.
Believe it or not, the Forest Cove buyouts are a success by some measures. Because within the next year, almost 50 acres should be restored to nature. That's the formula for buyouts. To buy clusters of repeatedly flooded properties to reduce flood risk and hopefully turn the land into a green space for people to enjoy. It's not typical, though, for buyouts to go down this way. A house here and maybe a house there takes a buyout, but not the whole area. So what you often get is not a park, but rather a neighborhood of vacant lots, since you can no longer build on those lots. Experts call this the checkerboard effect. But that's how the buyout story often goes. They're slow, there's checkerboarding, and they're inadequate. These challenges show up across the country. And this typical way of how buyouts work is happening here in Harris County. Experts call it the buyout capital of the country. Yet, since Hurricane Harvey, buyouts have actually slowed down. Through a records request, we learned that Harris County Flood Control District has closed on 750 buyouts. That's less than half the buyouts after Tropical Storm Allison in 2001, even though Harvey flooded double the number of houses. Meanwhile, FEMA has given the flood district more money than ever. So, fewer buyouts, even though more federal funding is available. No matter the storm, a big problem the flood control district faces is failing to catch people right after a disaster, when they're most motivated to take a buyout.
It's not so hard to get the volunteers. It's hard to keep them engaged.
James Wade, the county's buyout manager, says it took 9 months after Harvey for federal funding. People couldn't wait, and 40% of volunteers dropped out. They likely either repaired their houses or sold them on the private market, vulnerable again to flooding. There are still 5,000 properties on the district's buyout list that are hopeless cases, homes that repeatedly flood.
Because if you do the math, I mean, the buyouts are barely even a drop in the bucket of what needs to happen.
That's Jim Elliott, a sociologist at Rice University who has studied buyouts in Houston. He says buyouts are not keeping pace with the growing flood risk that comes with new construction.
This is not stopping people from moving into these neighborhoods. You know, you'd think, oh, a buyout. Oh, I don't want to move there. But no, housing prices are rising in buyout neighborhoods.
Elliott's research doesn't just focus on the number of buyouts, but who takes buyouts and the inequity that always seems to show up. He found people are hesitant to take buyouts because they don't want to leave their communities. Even if they flood, it's where their kids go to school, where friends and family are.
The best case scenario is probably a managed retreat where people sort of move a relatively short distance, you know, get out of harm's way and are able to stay sort of near their community and each other.
And a paper he published in 2019 found that residents from majority white communities were 6 times more likely to stay in the same neighborhood.
But when you went to lower income and communities of color, people didn't have the same choices. And so if they did take a buyout, they ended up a lot farther away from the house and the community they sold and from each other.
All this is pretty much what happened to Dolores Mendoza.
I lived in Allenfield my whole entire life. I was born there.
Allenfield in Northeast Houston has been the center of her life. Actually, more than that, the center of her family history, going back 6 generations. Her great-great-grandparents first moved here. Still living, she's got her
grandpa, grandma, dad, sisters, aunts, uncles. I don't even know how many are like extended family, which then it goes into great aunts and great cousins and things like that.
And now her 3 kids.
Like their cousins are all next door. Like they just run outside and like scream out the window like, hey, come outside. You know, that's what they're used to. It was just like our own little, you know, our own little neighborhood. Yeah.
Allenfield was family. Allenfield was home. Until 9 months ago, when they moved 15 miles away to the whiter and wealthier neighborhood of Kingwood. She can't just stop in for dinner at her mom's like before.
Like, literally everybody had a key to each other's house because that's how heavily we relied on everyone for everything. So, and that's completely different now.
It all started over 2 years ago when Mendoza received a letter in the mail. It told her that Allenfield was the subject of mandatory buyouts and that she should get ready to leave. The neighborhood is one of 62 areas that Harris County has identified as a prime candidate for buyouts. James Wade with Flood Control District says Allenfield met that definition of hopelessly deep in the floodplain to a T.
It's already 6 feet deep in the floodway.
Ever since Mendoza could remember, Allenfield flooded. Tropical Storm Allison, when she was in high school, wrecked her mom's house. She had to sleep on an air mattress for months. And more recently, Hurricane Harvey. Mendoza was a homeowner herself this time. She livestreamed on Facebook her evacuating.
My kids are gone waiting for the boat to come pick me up.
The water was so high, she couldn't even see the stop sign on the corner.
My porch is starting to come apart.
It now makes sense to Dolores Mendoza why her house had to be bought out. But it took a while for her to come around. Plus, she says the process was confusing, inaccessible, and filled with legal jargon.
Like, tell me what you mean in regular words so that we understand what's going on.
What is a buyout? How long will it take? Which costs are covered by the county and which aren't?
I didn't understand what was going on. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm writing down notes like, okay, I've never heard of eminent domain. I need to Google that.
That's what it was like for her, a citizen who speaks fluent English. But not everybody in Allenfield has that background, says Shirley Ronquillo, a community organizer with a group called the Department of Transformation.
The letters that announcing the mandatory buyout were in English only. So you are releasing these into a community that speaks Spanish or has different literacy levels. And this is like so confusing.
Although the county says letters in Spanish were sent. But that's just the beginning of a long, intimidating process. They're waiting on offers, which some say are too low. Others can't find an affordable place to go. They shared their desperation during a commissioner's court hearing.
No he recibido más bien el pago por mi propiedad, por la casa.
And up until this point, I haven't received any payment for my home.
Norma Escalona, for example, says she's been waiting months for her check to arrive.
Ya conseguimos una nueva propiedad.
It's right at our limit financially, and it's taking a lot for us to try to get ahead with all these expenses, and it's not fair for us to have to go through this because of the program.
Undocumented folks face an even bigger hurdle. They, like everybody else, were forced to take the buyout but didn't qualify for any relocation benefits. In some cases, we're talking easily tens of thousands of dollars. It's often the money they need to offset the costs of change when moving to a new place. But Ronquillo says they were afraid to engage at all.
And at that time, because our political situation was different, we had a different person in the presidential office, was fear, right? Because at that moment, there was fear of public charge.
Harris County makes it clear on their website, accepting these benefits will not affect your immigration case. And last year, they launched the Safe Fund, a $2.3 million pot of money that would assist with relocation benefits for people without papers. Improvements have been made, but there are still a lot of challenges, Ronquillo said. And the problem we've mentioned and that we hear over and over again, it's so slow.
Baby, and your food's ready.
And there is a human cost to the holdup.
My son's for breakfast at 2:15 in the afternoon.
What is that, eggs and
chorizo?
Dolores' mom, Irene Torres, and her 16-year-old son, who has asthma, are living with mold. Cracks in the floor, roaches, and rats. They haven't been able to fix their house since the winter freeze last year.
And these old houses, you got to keep them up. Because of the buyout, we can't. They told me don't fix, so I'm not going to waste my money. But everything's just falling apart. That ain't the only one. There's another hole over here.
Torres, too, is part of the mandatory buyout. But when we saw her, she was still waiting for the county's offer on her house. 2 years after they gave her notice. That's been hard.
You can see where I'm putting patches, where you fill it up.
Her pipes burst during that winter freeze. Trees fell, damaging the roof and walls. One room they don't even go into anymore.
There are tarps and cardboard wrapped around the exposed areas.
What happens when it rains?
It pours. I wish it was raining so you can see a waterfall. It's literally a waterfall. It just pours.
It's often at this point when homeowners give up. For mandatory buyouts, there isn't a choice. James Wade with the Flood Control District says that mandatory buyouts could become more common in the future.
Potentially, yeah. It's, you know, again, it's controversial. No one wants to force someone to move from their home if they don't want to. But the flip side of that, it's just not a safe place to live.
With all the challenges of buyouts, the bureaucracy, the inequity, the inadequacy, how expensive they are versus how few people are really getting out, we asked decision makers and scholars, is it really worth it?
In fact, we need to, if not for anything, increase that amount.
Coyote Atoba studies buyouts at Texas A&M's Institute of Disaster Resilience in Galveston. He says,
those places would not get better. It's actually going to get worse.
Because of worsening storms.
Because development continues to occur.
A paper he recently wrote stresses getting ahead of the development. Not just buying out houses, but buying properties before houses even get built. It's co-authored with his colleague Sam Brody.
You know, it's backward.
He says the FEMA program, which makes up 3/4 of Harris County buyouts, is reactionary.
Other countries and cultures look at the United States with miffed expressions because of the way we continue to flood, you know, respond, rinse, repeat over and over again.
More local dollars ready to buy people out right after a flood could help. But it's really federal funding that makes the biggest impact, says James Wade with the Flood Control District.
Well, if we had a pot of money available immediately following a disaster, I think we'd be a lot more successful.
Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher has filed a bill that could make that possible. Instead of waiting 9 months for FEMA funding after Harvey, Harris County could have moved forward immediately and asked for reimbursements later. She testified on the House floor.
So the quicker local governments are able to move, the more people they can help, and the more resources they can leverage.
From Galveston, Professor Brody.
In June, Sam Brody testified to a Senate committee. He said, we need to act now.
My biggest concern is that despite our best efforts, the cost of flooding, the impact to communities is spiraling upward. By all accounts, the problem's getting worse, and it's a national priority to reduce our losses.
If government is willing to plan ahead and make buyouts actually work better, we've seen what they can do.
So this will be a really, really nice area.
I'm back at Forest Cove, the townhouse complex I visited in June, and you heard from Joy Sadler earlier. She and her neighbor Matt Tilkemeyer point out what the new park will bring to their community.
Once this is gone and they reform this land and finish the greenway, this will be a beautiful area again.
So there's a lot of hope still.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The greenway will also make surrounding communities safer from the next flood. We all want that. Even if it's not easy, it requires pre-planning, substantial investment, and the heartbreak of leaving your home. But there's a future out there, if you can see it. One where more places look like Forest Cove, where there's a network of tunnels and green infrastructure, where Houston's more flood resilient and the worst of Hurricane Harvey doesn't have to happen again. But as you've learned, that's a big if. Next time on Below the Waterlines, Houston after Hurricane Harvey, we'll bring back the 4 reporters who worked on this series and reflect on what we've learned and share our key takeaways. Subscribe so that you don't miss it and visit houstonpublicmedia.org/waterlines to learn more about this topic. If you've missed episodes 1, 2, or 3, we invite you to go back and check it out. Thanks for listening.
Below the Waterlines, Houston after Hurricane Harvey is a production of Houston Public Media. Sarah Willa Ernst, Todd Holslander, Lucio Vasquez, Michael Haggerty, Mark DiClaudio, Scott Miles, and Houston Public Media fellow Morgan Cheney and intern Dua Faki contributed to this production. Our executive producer is Christina Yao Lee. Our thanks to the many people who made this project possible.